The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statmiller, with you on this Wednesday, 30th of August, 2017. Blue skies in Central Texas and blue skies over Houston. Finally. I have Al Whitney with me today. Hello, Al.
Hi, John.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fair to Midland, mostly dry.
My husband wanted me to ask you a question.
Uh-oh.
He wanted to know why, when he watched the mainstream media, there were no overhead shots of the hurricane.
Overhead shots of the hurricane.
From a helicopter where you see vast miles, etc.?
I've seen a ton of pictures.
Oh, okay. Well, he hadn't seen them yesterday.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. They're all over the internet.
Okay.
They didn't like the fact that people were using drones to get a bird's eye view. And I guess law enforcement requested that private citizens don't fly their drones. I don't know about that. They said it might interfere with rescue operations or helicopters or whatever the case may be. Hey, you know, no, but there were a lot of pictures, aerial shots.
I listened to you talk, and you indicated that there were some volunteers organized that were helping people, and I've forgotten the name of the group.
The Cajun Navy?
Yeah,
let me get this right, Louisiana?
Well, I was just super happy to hear that, and I did send you a link, in case you haven't seen it yet, to the 11-minute documentary called Boat Lift, which was done on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. People can do a search, YouTube-Boatlift, narrated by Tom Hanks. And it's a documentary demonstrating what happened on 9/11 when all the people who had boats ascended on Manhattan Island in a massive rescue attempt, successful rescue. And the mainstream media didn't cover any of it. And according to the documentary Boat Lift, this was the single largest human evacuation in the history of mankind. And it wasn't on the media at all.
Well, that's because the government that engineered this whole thing, you know, they just didn't have time. They needed to pump out the handmaidens of the creations of the government, that being our news media. They needed to stay focused. You can't get sidetracked with some uninteresting little human interest story such as that.
It
doesn't fit the agenda.
How about the fact that they don't want the public to realize that we're capable of helping each other without?
Yeah, I think you just nailed it right on the head. You know, during this whole thing down here, you know, if I'd go into a store or something, everybody's all high-wired and, you know, have you been to the grocery store? I said, no, why would I want to go to the grocery store? Well, to stock up. I said, stock up on what? Well, you know, batteries and water in case the power goes out. And I just looked at him and I smiled and I said, I've been prepared for years for this. Well, how did, and they, you could almost see them want to ask the question, well, how did you know? How did I know what? They wanted, and literally, Al, that was the question that was ready to fly out of their face. Well, how did you know to be prepared? How did you know this was coming? Look, yeah. I'm expecting the house to fall on me, the sword of Damocles to come suspiciously close to my little scrawny neck. I'm waiting for a financial collapse. I'm prepared for anything. I got the food, I got the water, I got the ammo. Get your hands off my itty-bitty stuff, touch it, and you die.
You know, on Saturday, I wasn't on because apparently I was told that trees fell on the lines in your area and took out the power.
Yeah, folks.
Central Ohio all the time. We lost power for 2 weeks because a windstorm took out so many trees. So we're always ready for a power failure.
Well, and this was the irony to this. I've had two power outages, one personally and one here at the network in the last couple of years. And what were they both caused by? It was caused by rain, not very high winds. We didn't have winds over 40, 45 miles an hour in this location of Central Texas. You know, to a lot of places on a stormy day in any town, USA, you know, it's a good wind, basically. But what the problem is that the power companies, down here in Texas, we got power companies, and then we got people that manage the delivery system. That's their responsibility. The high tension wires, telephone poles, on it goes. Well, one of the things, there is a maintenance problem that's ongoing that they have to keep on top of. And that's keeping shrubbery, trees, anything that grounds those wires out to cut them back or get rid of them. And this is the exact same thing that happened to us here last, what was it, Saturday? Yeah, Saturday night about 7 o'clock. And about a year and a half ago at my house. Same damn thing.
And this is what happens to us here in Central Ohio. The electric company hires a company, subcontracts, and they're supposed to go around and maintain to keep the trees from, you know, encroaching on the wires so that you won't have this. Yeah. And they do a lousy job. And you can have 100,000 people or more without power for a week because trees fell on the line.
Down here, the intermediary before it gets to your house is called Encore. And, yeah, what a name. Yeah, I feel like giving them an encore. Yeah. But it's screwed up. It's people trying to maximize their profits with trying to get, you know, limiting their cash outlays. In other words, they're protecting their profit or their bottom line. And one of that, you know, if, you know, why do I have to fix my roof if it's not raining? There's no water coming in. You know, that's kind of the idea. As long as we don't have strong storms and hurricanes or tropical depressions, you know, everything will just squeak by for a little while longer until it doesn't squeak by a little while longer.
And is another method that they use to avoid accountability. Well, that's not our fault. We contracted with this company. This company was supposed to do it, and they did. It seems like my local government, my county government, everyone has these steps, these subcontractors, so that they seem to avoid accountability. It's somebody else's fault, and you never get any satisfaction because it's somebody else's fault.
Well, it ain't my fault. By the way, this is your fault. Are you overdriving on your volume on your side?
I shouldn't be, but I can. Wait, I can.
Yeah,
I can.
Yeah, turn it down a little bit because you're overdriving on your end, and we're trying to make up for it on this end. And you're coming across as a little bit distorted.
Okay, got it. Audio settings. That would be the microphone.
That would be it.
Okay. Now let's see. Is that any better?
Well, I don't know. Keep talking.
I turned it down.
Is that better?
I can turn it down more.
Well, say more than two words.
Well, let me think. we have nice weather here. It's beautiful. However, we're moving into fall. which always makes me a little sad because it seems like the summer's over in no time. How's that?
He says a little bit more. Yeah, see, there's your sound alarm.
Okay, I can do it.
All right, just turn down a little bit more. We can always bump it up on this end and control any distortions. All right, that should do it. If not, we'll just make another tweak next break. Yeah, okay. Everybody is very good. By the way, oh gosh, I told you this before the program today. Now, what is one of the states that's having just absolute fits trying to cover their retirement accounts? What is the state that is near junk bond status? What is the state that can't pay out on the state lottery system? What is the state that's got Rahm Emanuel in Chicago and bodies laying all over the place?
Illinois.
You got that right. And what did the governor of Illinois just come out and do? He just signed a bill declaring that that this damn state, Illinois, is now a sanctuary state.
Do they get paid money for that?
You know, I have a suggestion. Forget your Governor Kasich. This guy is next to useless. As a matter of fact, if you look in a dictionary next to useless, you'll see his face. But the adjoining states, Indiana, Kentucky, I don't care what state. Stop doing business with Illinois. Just freeze them out. Because this is a problem. Here's a sanctuary city plopped right in the middle of this country that's going to say, hey, give me your tired, your poor, your diseased, your criminals, your drug dealers. We don't give a damn. You're not vetted. Anybody. And we're talking OTMs here, Al, other than Mexicans. We're talking about Somalians or Syrians with ill intent, whatever the scenario might be. This is absolutely, I can see two states that need to be thrown out of the union. And I've never said this before, but this is going to cause, unless the governor of Illinois wants to go start his own fiefdom someplace, by the way, outside the United States, then he can go make his own rules and act as if he is king. And his actions are not going to affect anybody else. This crap has got to stop. And this guy, you know, they don't even give a damn about their political careers. They think that they're going to pander enough, get enough illegals in there, and they're going to turn around and vote for this guy again as governor? Really? They've got millions of people that are leaving that state. They got pension funds that they can't pay. They got junk bond status that they ain't even got the credit to borrow anything. They've got people that are leaving in droves. And now they're going to invite the unwashed, the uneducated, the unvetted, the unchecked, right into the state. In the middle of the heartland here, folks.
Do you think that they get money for doing that? I suspect they get money. They're doing it for the money.
You know, that's one possible scenario. And I've heard this before, as well as you, Al. Everybody's got their price.
That's right.
But if I'm governor of a state, there couldn't conceivably be enough money that they could pay me to destroy, and by way of extension, destroy the country. They couldn't pay me enough money. There's not enough money on this planet. If we take a look at what this government's been responsible, and I'm talking about the Fed, and to a certain degree the states as well, if you take a look at the damage that could have been avoided, rather than their crypto little corporate, we're in kind of a fascist state of a love affair with government and government with us. If we weren't in that position, if there was truly sovereignty and people of the respective states really had a say in things, we wouldn't be talking about this today.
That's true.
But you take a look, all of what has been done. And what's ironic, rather than admit fault and do a reversal, we're just going to put a Band-Aid on it, rename it, and we're going to try to make it good. Classic example, Al, you got people that are in the health industries. We once had money flowing in and out of the healthcare system. Now, I'm not just talking about greed and profit. I'm talking about we had one of the best medical as a country goes overall. Some of the best health care in the entire planet. What has happened to that? So rather than examine the reasons what went wrong and don't make that stupid mistake again, we have people now that are going, okay, that was a dumb mistake, and now we're going to do something that's not as dumb. But we're going to try to fix what stupid did. And you know, and I know, as sure as you and I are sitting here, yes, health care is important to people. Yes, we understand. It's not so important to get the damn foolish bureaucrats and the people that are in bed with the health insurance companies and God knows whatever profit-generating mechanism that they have. There was one thing that made this pretty much an even playing field and kept costs down. It was placed on a business-like competitive basis. In other words, it was free market. It wasn't rigged. It wasn't supported. It wasn't taken over by the health in the insurance companies. You know, the very people there are supposed to protect you in times of cataclysmic what the hell happened to you. These are the very people that have been going back to the trough, feeding themselves regularly and making money hand over fist. Free market is the solution, and this was the reason why the healthcare system in this country was so good. It was competitive. Who the hell can build a better mousetrap? Who can provide a better service? Who can keep their costs lower?
You know what else changed, John? And I found this out from a caller, and then I got to thinking, and the caller was absolutely right. He said to me, these hospitals, our hospitals, used to be run by the churches. And I remember, John.
The church? What is that? Is that a place people used to go to have a picnic or something? What is a church?
St. Catherine's Hospital in East Chicago. Uh-huh. Riverside Methodist in Columbus, Ohio, Mount Carmel in Columbus, Ohio, all of these churches, and they did not run it to maximize profit. But I have watched in Central Ohio, we used to go to a Christmas party, an annual Christmas party. My husband was on staff of Mount Carmel, which is a Catholic hospital. And every year, a nun who was in charge of the hospital would say some kind of a prayer prior to the dinner. The last time we went, it was a CEO who said, I'm the CEO of the Mount Carmel Hospital Complex. I'm going to start off with some kind of a prayer. And we were shocked. Then we realized that over the many years that all the hospitals that we knew that we had been patients of, we had been trained at, we had worked at, the religious aspect, the religion lost control of the hospital. And the profiteer, CEO, and the corporate model moved in everywhere. And when that happened, things just started going from bad to worse. It was all about profit. It wasn't about patient care.
Well, and I have told the story before, and it illustrates because, like I said, your family and family extension have been in healthcare that understand, that have been looking at it from the inside out. You know, years ago, I blew out an anterior cruciate ligament. I worked for General Motors. This is not a small operation, and it wasn't cheap. Well, at the time, and we're talking about 82, $83, had Blue Cross, Blue Shield. They billed, the hospital billed Blue Cross, Blue Shield $30,000. And there was other associated costs as well. But it was $30,000 for that operation way back then. And luckily, it's held together. I was smart enough to go shopping, you know, not seeking the doctors that I wanted. I went to the Detroit Lions ortho guys and said, hey, you got some spare time? I know you're used to patching up million-dollar babies and getting big bucks for it, but I got a problem here, and you guys got the experience. Well, they fixed it, and it's still working properly to this day. Yeah, hooray for me. But that was $30,000 back in 1983. Now, there was a group of doctors that got together, and I do believe this was in Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Surgery Center, I think they called it. Doctors and anesthesiologists, and everybody got pissed off and went and started their own gig. Let me tell you what they did with the cost. We'll take this break. We'll be right back.
Be Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Al, about 10 years ago, physicians, surgeons at hospitals in Missouri, anesthesiologists, podiatrists, all, they looked at where the medical care was going, and they did not like it. They didn't like the high cost of insurance, the high cost of health care, or people's preferred insurance companies, the battle of the insurance companies not paying out enough, so the hospital's up in their billing. So, and they found all sorts of creative ways to fatten their little bottom lines and to maintain a very fat and healthy profit margin. These guys got sick of it and said, fellas, we got to do something. So they did. They opened up the Oklahoma surgery center, and it was on an outpatient basis. Rule number one, don't walk in our doors with a health insurance card. We won't even talk to you. We don't care if you've got body parts falling off of you. Turn around and walk back out the door. We're not dealing with insurance companies. This is cash and carry. Now, they only had beds for extenuating circumstance or whatever, but it was not a place. It was ambulatory-type surgery. They'd fix you up and wheel you right out the door. Well, that $30,000-plus dollars in 1983, now imagine the how they like to put it, the cost, the inflation, which is nothing but a reversal of a word, devaluation. And they were sick of this. And so they went out and started their own gig. built their own building, did their own thing. That $30,000-plus surgery in 83, a couple of years ago, they would do the exact same ACL surgery for $7,500. Don't ask us for terms. Show up with the money. We'll fix you. We'll do it right. And it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. You won't have to leave something healthy behind for a deposit so you come back and claim it one day, I guess. I don't know. But they looked at this, and who's getting screwed? This is what really aggravates me. All these little lying, pompous, asshat politicians. Oh, well, healthcare is a right, or it should be more affordable. Well, they passed the Affordable Health Care Act, and Al, what happened to premiums? What happened to your deductibles? What happened with that?
Well, that went up, but that, you know, what else happened is the quality of care went down.
Bingo.
Quality of care has gotten actually quite frightening. I have done a whole series. As you know, I have a family member who was in the hospital and nearly died, and we observed what was going on, and it is extremely scary now. It is, these doctors are taking money from Big Pharma and the device companies at a rate that is really unheard of. I had it on the show, and if you haven't had a chance to look at this website, it's called Dollars for Docs. One of the things Obamacare did was require that pharmaceutical companies and device companies, and that's a huge business, report the money they pay to physicians for speeches, for consultation, for studies, for all kinds of things. And if you go to Dollars for Docs, you can look up your doctor and find out how much money he's taken from industry.
Ooh. Now, that's a helpful little shopping tool.
Yes, and one of the physicians for my family member had taken $65,000 over a two-year period from industry.
Well, and
$65,000. Now, who does he work for?
Yeah, well, here's a flash. The pharmaceuticals got to the doctors, and if they give a full regimen to the patient's children, I'm talking about the full-blown A to Z vaccinations, they can make $400,000.
Exactly.
And I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know, I think we should take the Hippocratic Oath. And every time I heard that word, I always thought of the obvious replacement for that, the Hypocrite Oath. Well, now they're just a bunch of hypocrites. The doctor's number one charge is first what? Do no harm.
They've gotten rid of that, John. They don't do that anymore. Sorry. I'm sorry, but that's gone. Most medical schools don't require the Hippocratic Oath anymore.
Well, then they can get their degrees and go practice in India or in the South China Sea someplace.
There's an interesting article that I posted on anticorruptionsociety.com, which is my website. It was written by Dr. Marcia Angell, A-N-G-E-L-L, and she wrote a book. She is the former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and she's been blowing the whistle on this profiteering that's been ongoing. She finally had enough, and she quit her job as the editor of New England Journal of Medicine, but she wrote an article that appeared in NewYorkBooks.com. You guys can read it on my website, and it says, Drug Companies and Doctors, A Story of Corruption. And that's her. That was published in 2009. And I am telling you, my personal experience, it is not better since 2009. It is considerably worse.
It's break time. There's nothing playing. Well, I'll just talk my way into the break there. No, don't. Well, you better fire something off because, yeah. All right. Al Whitney is my guest today. She is on this network from 7 to 9 p.m., or I'm sorry, 7, that's correct, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it's called In Defense of Humanity with Al Whitney. Let's take the break. We'll be back in a few.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Nutramedical's New True Silver is a new angstrom silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at Nutramedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at Nutramedical, NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or ionic silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
We're back. David in Dallas. Hello, David.
Oh, hey, John. How's it going?
Hi.
It's been a while. You know, I wanted to back up a little bit to
Is this David N?
Yes, it is.
Where in the hell have you been?
I was afraid this was coming.
Oh, no,
I've been pretty busy.
You must have
I
been.
Knew this was coming.
You forget all about us down here.
I did not. I certainly didn't.
Okay.
I certainly didn't.
What's going on, Dave?
Well, when the two of you were discussing and it came up, there was the announcement of a new sanctuary city. And, you know, instead of receiving a financial payoff, it just, you know, I've just seen so much madness by the left, or what we would call the left, as of late. You've got, who is that, the mayor of Phoenix, a Democratic mayor, pleading with the president not to come. I mean, that's madness. I mean, for a mayor to tell the president, please don't come to my city. And that's just one example, whether it's that or you've got Paul Ryan supporting Antifa. Well, that was last week, right? Now this week, Nancy Pelosi is setting a new trend. You know, and all of this craziness, it's all happening as if it's in unison. I'm even willing to go as far as to say that it's scripted. And, you know, these people get their financial support for re-elections. by their sources, and it makes me wonder, instead of giving them a payoff, that they're just giving an instruction, listen, you're going to conduct yourself in this behavior. We will tell you what to do at the appropriate time, and if you do not, you're not going to get your financial support
next re-election. Well, David, everything was in place. All it took was a trigger. And everybody, all the little communists that are now firmly entrenched at university, all the communitarianized governors, people that are sitting on your county and city boards, across this country, this has been in the works for a very long time. What we're now starting to see is what they have firmly in place, along with their handmaidens in the communized or socialized, give it a name, media. And, you know, it's rather fascinating to me that they think this is going to somehow, move their progressive thing forward. And it's going to have exactly the opposite. What was the reason why most people voted for Donald Trump? It was the piano-legged, and I've been admonished by a lady that I should not call her a piano-legged lesbian. My apologies to you, ma'am, but that you want to talk about moral character and a ethics and a moral compass? This is a woman that didn't have it. David, this was a vote not so much for Donald Trump. He said some good things, got everybody all riled up and happy, but this was largely a vote against Hillary Clinton. If you take a look at the states, I mean, hell, even take a look at Wisconsin, take a look at Michigan, that for some strange reason just followed everybody down the commie rat hole, and they're wondering why they're broken or jobless. People are starting to catch on. So, you know, I'm not so worried about this, because there is nothing in the Democrat Party that they're going to be able to run. What has been exposed are the people like Rat and Ryan, and thank God John McCain, forgive me, Lord, thank God John McCain has brain cancer. Yeah, Jeff, I really am a flake from Arizona. He's not going to get reelected. So this is taking its normal, even in spite of, David, this absolute onslaught of what you pointed out, and which I agree, it's not going to get them anywhere. Politically, I think the winds are going to shift back a little bit in this country, because all it's going to take is a sane Republican or an independent to get up and say, look, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, here is the problem for this. This is why this is going on. This is why you don't have a job. This is why the states are in debt. All they have to do is go down the laundry list of what the Democrat Party claims that it loves and it's trying to fix. They're, in large part, the reason for it, along with the rats and the rhinos that we have on the Republican side. So politically, David, I'm not that worried about that. I really am not. What I'm more concerned about is that why can communists openly practice their trade in this country? Why can George Soros continue to fund all kinds of mayhem, destruction, and yes, death? And why is not George Soros under investigation? Why is it we don't go to the root? Because we have the handmaidens, we have the gatekeepers called the media in this country. Wow.
Well, there's no doubt to me Jeff Sessions has turned out to be a big disappointment.
Well, there are some things that I would have done differently, that's for damn sure.
It would have been it would have been grand to see now I've got brain freeze. Hillary's Benghazi. Trey Gowdy. If we had someone with the size of him like Trey Gowdy to actually get out there and Hillary first, George Soros second. It's unfathomable. There's just been so much mental illness out there. As I've never seen anything like this before.
Well, and I haven't either.
It's just gone completely topsy turvy.
Well, and this is their best shot. You're seeing everything that they have, and they've thrown it at us, and not one of it can stand up to the Constitution. We understand and recognize, and I have been asking people, quit feeding their fire. It takes two to tango. It takes two to have a boxing match. It takes two to have a fight. Don't fight. Walk away from them. Walk away from them. But we have seen recently that, well, guess who's been leading the opposition of both supposedly the Nazis and the KKK? You know, this is a group that's all but dead, but they get a lot of mileage out of the still the KKK deal. But take a look who's running Antifa and look what they want. Look who's been running the opposition. It's been the people that have been controlling the opposition. We need to just walk away from them. Rob them of their power. Let them stand in the middle of the street and scream to the top of their lungs. We hate Trump. He's a racist. He's a this. He's a that. The only thing that you're doing, David, is proving that they are the racist. They're the ones that have no tolerance. I mean, hell, Dave, we took 8 years of Obama. Were we holding up pictures of comedian of Obama's bloody head? Or were we saying that he needs to be impeached? No, there were some questions about his birth certificate that were absolutely valid. But who is out there wanting the head of Barack Obama? I'm sorry, Barry Sartoro. They're proving what they're accusing us of being. That's exactly who they are. You want to see a bunch of racist sons of buggers? You're looking at them.
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing Obama's head on a plate.
Well,
and that's figurative, okay? And we're just having some fun here.
But, yeah, well, you know.
Back again, I mean, we have an attorney general that, you know, I've got, from my friends in Shreveport, I've got screenshots of Craigslist ads, and yes. You know, for paid actors from
yes.
both sides.
Yes.
I mean, they're photographed getting... Both sides are photographed getting off of the same bus. I mean, you know, and if I know this, I mean, it wouldn't take much to add one and two together. You know, and nothing's being done. I mean, that's not even. I mean, they get media coverage. I mean, shelter protection.
Sure.
I mean, it's you know, it's like someone blew the dust off of an old script back to the '60s with Bill Ayers and who was that? Bernadine Dorn. You still got the same characters at play with Black Lives Matters and Bill Ayers. I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere looming in the background that they're behind the scenes doing what they're good at.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is not going to last very long. Is demonstrated, and I'll say this again, David, and I've got to let you go. But
sure.
This, the Trump phenomenon, if you will, the issue here of Donald Trump getting elected, and this is why the left in this country just absolutely couldn't believe. They believed their own propaganda, but they could not accept for one moment that the people that they had been in communication with, the people that they'd been talking to, the people that they had been propagandizing, not everybody drank that Kool-Aid. They walked away from it. That's why they were in shock. They couldn't believe that Hillary Clinton had lost after all the effort to prop up this criminal and try to make her look presidential. That's what they were in disbelief of. But, and again, politically, this is going to make a change in this country. And we'll be the ones doing wash, rinse, repeat, rather than doing the, you know, the civil rights crap of the 60s. I'm sorry, that was 50, 60 years ago. And it's become blatantly clear that the people that are screaming the loudest of Black Lives Matter, no lives matter, even their own. Look what they've done. Nothing. And people are sick of it. So they're going to become the isolated groups. And by the way, they're being portrayed as being much bigger and badder than they really are. Without that news coverage, this thing would have already been done and over with. David?
I agree wholeheartedly, John. Yeah. Well, everybody's burnt out on these old moves from the 90s, from the Clintons. No one buys it anymore. And, yeah, I hope to see them implode as well.
Yeah. I mean, politically, just before you go here, they just said that, well, wait a minute, the reason why we're not going after Hillary Clinton, the FBI says it's a lack of public interest.
You know, I never get asked on any of these polls.
I know you don't, but you know what? You were right. Trey Gowdy should have been the attorney general, and Ron Paul should have been the vice president of the United States. Hey, I got to let you go.
Amen.
All right. Hey, you stay in touch. All right. I think he said something afterwards, but we cut him off. He said bye. Okay. Al?
I'm here.
Yeah, but you didn't chime in there. I thought you passed away.
My perspective is completely different than everyone else's, so I just kind of let you guys do your thing.
Oh, okay. Well, if you have a contrary position, let me hear it.
You see, for many years of my life, I was a liberal, and I believed the rhetoric. I thought, actually, the people in charge were going to make things better. I actually thought that, John. They said they were going to make things better.
You were hoping for a change. I get it.
We're going to make things better for the poor. Mm-hmm. Well, things aren't better for the poor. We're going to make things so that black people can get jobs. Black people still can't get jobs. There are no jobs in their area. We're going to make it so that, you know, things are fair. And the workers, we're going to protect the workers with the unions. They gave up on the unions. They no longer protect the workers. Mm. All the jobs were exported. All the promises that the progressive movement made, none were fulfilled. What boggles my mind is that they see that. I'm not the only one who sees that. I mean, I was working with progressives who were against Bush's invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan in 2004.
Yeah, so was I.
We were all so upset about that. We were so upset. We were talking to soldiers who would come back. It was very disturbing, and that's why we were all working, rooting for Kerry, okay? Well, I was working on the campaign in the state of Ohio. I was working for the Kerry campaign. I was getting people to sign up who wanted to volunteer. Someone handed me the little form that I was to give out, and I looked at that form, and on that form was a box that they were invited to mark, which said LGTB. And I looked at the other volunteers, this is in 2004, and I said, what the bleep is LGBT? And they told me, and I said, what in the name of God does that have to do with the war effort, the job losses? What I don't understand. What is this all about? And they said, it came down from work headquarters. We don't know what it's about either. So they were being manipulated.
Sure.
Right from the get-go, and so few of them stopped and said, what is this nonsense? You know, we've got men coming back in body bags. We've got people who are unemployed. We had tent cities. We still have tent cities. And nothing's improving, and all of a sudden we're running around worrying about LGTB. So I said to my friend, something's wrong. We can't support this
party. You're not a very good ex-liberal. You got that wrong. It's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and I think they have a category for I don't know what the hell, and they throw everything else in there. But
yes.
You know, but you're answering your own question here,
or I know.
And don't you think that other people like yourself see this has turned into us against them mentality? This is this is identity politics, Al, and people and hold on, let me finish. We got more time here. What people are now starting to recognize is what you came to your senses about. So this is why I'm saying in this country politically, people that, pulled that lever and I don't give a damn, I'm a Democrat. Now they're starting to rethink their position. And it started to happen under Trump. Yeah, it was a good motivation. I don't want Hillary Clinton. Yeah, I think I know she's a crook. So what the hell? Let's give Donald Trump, you know, he's talking about jobs, which we don't have. He's talking about putting up a wall because I'm tired of looking at illegal aliens and bumping them into them down at the local Stop and Rob at the 7-Eleven or whatever. There was things that resonated with people that were still with the identity politics, but that is starting to fall away.
Well, someone knocked on my door, this chick, and she was gay, a lesbian, and she wanted me to support this effort. And I just looked at her and I said, look, we've got families living in tents, okay? We've got children living in tents. We've got people on welfare, barely even surviving. Welfare doesn't make them wealthy. We've got huge problems here. And whether or not you get recognized, if you want to get, I was sort of pissed, but I said, if you want to get recognized, jump in and help us feed people. Help us solve these big problems. And you will be accepted, and your help will be accepted.
That's the worst that you could do. I'm telling you what, when the Mormons show up at my door, or some little limp-wristed communist or liberal shows up at my door, I'll tell you what, they get an earful, but they also get the strong impression if they don't get off the property, something might happen that they may not like.
Well, she said to me, well, I care about those matters. I said, good, then quit knocking on doors, worrying about this, and join the rest of us as we try to help families in this country. I mean,
quit playing identity politics, and you keep scratching your head when the orders come down on high. This is where we're about. Start thinking for yourselves, folks.
I know. It's just craziness.
All right. We haven't even begun to scratch the surface of what we're going to be talking about today. So we'll do that. I enjoy the back and forth here because, you know, you being a lady that, well, obviously, you woke up and smelled the coffee. Your porch light is on now, and it's never going to go back out. And that's some of the best people to have on air. They just don't talk about it. They lived it and then saw the error of the ways. Many good stories there. At any rate, Al Whitney's my guest. In Defense of Humanity, we'll be back.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps.
All righty, we're back. We had a little technical bobble that happened. Al, you and I were...
Can I add one more thing? Everybody gets to be a little bit indignant. Could I have a moment of indignation?
Oh, fire it up.
Okay. I'm white. I'm not ashamed of being white. I was born white. I didn't get a vote. I'm not ashamed of it. I have brothers who are white. I have a husband who is white. I have white friends. All of these are good men. Not one of us, not one of them is a supremacist. They're all struggling. They're struggling to make a living. All of a sudden, they are on the bottom rung of the totem pole, and they're standing around saying, what the hell happened? Why am I being denied a right to work and earn a living? And I'm really sad about it. Some of them are really depressed. I mean, they've done nothing wrong. All they want to do is work. They're not supremacists. They're hard workers. They're good, good men. Take care of their family. And I have no idea how in the name of Hannah they got on the bottom rung, and somebody thinks that because they want to have a job and care for their family, that they're supremacists. This is insane. Sorry.
Well,
I had to do
that. No, that's fine. And usually on Wednesdays, I refer to it as being hump day. You know, this is supposedly the day of the week. It's the middle of the week. We got Thursday, Friday to go. We got Monday, Tuesday behind us. And I'm going to put a new tag or moniker on what is considered hump day. Now, the people that you mention, you don't wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and go, wow, I'm white. I'm supreme. You don't do that. I don't do that. But you know what? Responsible people don't go out there and keep having children that they can't pay for and care for. This is what has happened to the birth rate in this country. Now we got all the illegals coming in from God knows all colors, and you know what? I'm not even against that. But not the wholesale, unvetted, bring me your disease, your criminal, and not vetted background and all of that. So I'm going to rename kind of Hump Day Wednesday. It's still going to be Hump Day. This is going to take on a new meaning. You white folks out there, get to humping. Let's have some babies. All right? I mean, this is ridiculous. This is what happens when responsible people do the right thing. And again, yeah, we're being punished for it. But, you know, do you have a right in this country to anything? Well, not according to the federal government or, how should I say, the people that write up the rules and the regulations and the statutes. You know, we got a guy that both of us know, Mike Parsons, in Tennessee.
Yeah.
This guy, the egregious sin of running for, I think he ran for mayor, not county sheriff.
I think county commissioner.
County commissioner, okay.
Yeah.
And his number one job, he was calling out the corruption in his county. Whoa. Well, when you're in a good old boy network and you're the one nail that's sticking up, you're going to get hammered. And that's exactly what happened to him. He was set up repeatedly. He's got documented proof that people came in misrepresenting themselves as being police officers, swearing under oath that they're this person, and they weren't. The whole damn system was corrupt. Then he added to the problems by getting involved with the Indian Nation up in Canada, trying to take on the status of an ambassador, and you know what? You can't touch me because I'm the ambassador for these Indians. They've got him by the neck, and they're not going to let him go.
Probably not.
Probably not. No, they're not going to. He's due to be sentenced this Friday, and he fully expects to get 4 years in prison for not showing up for a court date. If things have not become, here's the bottom line, Al, that we can cap off this first hour with this one. I don't care, big or small, corruption, big or small, gargantuan or not. It has to be done away with. Get back to the rules. Get back to what made us great. Everybody quit coloring out of the lines. Sit down and shut up. And let's get back to the business of living life, productive lives, and raising children, well-educated and well-rounded and not dependent children. That's my message for the first hour. Al Whitney in Defense of Humanity. She's on Saturday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.